Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Anxiety is a bad thing, but there's something even worse, and that is to forsake the living God in service to mammon. Mammon is the Bible word that is, it stands for money, property, and possessions. We call all of this mammon, right? And so when our Lord here in verse 24 says no one can serve two masters, he'll either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What he's doing is he's commenting on the first commandment. The first commandment says, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Therefore, to violate the first commandment by having another God is a grievous sin. And to put mammon in the place of God is a violation of the first commandment. And so the first thing that we learn here is that as believers in Christ, we do not want to fall into the trap of mammon worship. We want to be followers of our Lord Jesus Christ and worship the Lord our God only and serve the Lord God only. But we as Christian believers are tempted. And we are tempted chiefly when our desire for earthly goods and the magnification of our need for earthly goods causes us to become anxious. And when we become anxious, mammon uses that opportunity to enslave us to itself. Right? Why is it that we grasp after money and we grasp after property and possessions? Why is it that we feel so diminished when we cannot have the things that our bodies want and crave? Right? It is because mammon is tempting us to put it first and to think that without money, property, and possessions, we are just hapless losers in this world. And so, as disciples of the Lord, we want to serve God and not mammon. But we have the same cares and anxieties and worries as other people do. And so Jesus, after he speaks about what the first commandment demands, he then talks about the needlessness of anxiety. And so let's just take a look at that for a few minutes. So, because we are often tempted to put mammon in the place where God belongs, and when we do that, we put God in a place where he doesn't belong, all right? And so Jesus, he responds to that by saying, therefore I say unto you, do not be anxious about your life. Do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. So he says, do not be negatively concerned about these things. Do not even let it enter into your thoughts. Right? Why? He says this, is not life more than food and the body than clothing? He says, listen, you already have life and you already have a body, and this without any worry on your part. You didn't worry yourself into existence. You did not anxiety attack yourself into reality, right? And so he says, without any input on your part, you have been given life and you have been given a body. God gave you these things. Do you think it's difficult for him then to provide for you food and clothing? Of course not. If he's already given you life and he's already given you a body, will he not also give you sustenance and clothing for that life and body? Of course he will. And so don't take any thought. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What am I going to wear? You have life and a body from God. Don't you think that the same God who brought you into existence without your anxiety and worry can also bless you with temporal blessings and benefits? He goes on and he says in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, they do not gather into barns. Yet, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So he says, look at the birds. They do not set up farming co-ops. They do not worry. They do not pine away at night next to a candle, worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Birds just do what they were created to do without a thought. And he says, aren't you much better than they? Of course. Now, here's the thing, though, that you have to pay attention to most carefully in this verse. In verse 26, Jesus says, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Now, this is a great word because it tells us something about our relationship with God. God, through Jesus Christ, has become our Heavenly Father. He has accepted us as His beloved children, and so we Christian believers have a relationship with God that He is our Heavenly Father and we are His dear children. And this is because of the redemption that Christ Jesus has brought to us with His incarnation, His suffering, His death, and His resurrection and ascension from here to the right hand of God. So this little phrase that seems to be said in passing, you got to stop for a minute and make sure you understand it. Many people who read this passage, they think that God is talking to all people in general and that all people are children of the Heavenly Father. You know, that's modern philosophical American civil religion. We're all children of God, and God is our Father, everybody's Father. Now, there is a sense in which that is true. God is the creator of all people, and all people are creatures of God. But I want you to understand this very clearly. When the Bible uses the terminology of Father in heaven or Heavenly Father, and he refers to us as the children of God, this is not creation talk. It is redemption talk. Jesus is the one and only begotten Son of God. It is through his coming into the world that we have been reconciled to God by the death of his Son. We have been redeemed, we have been saved, and we have been adopted into the family of God in our baptism. So when Jesus calls God our Heavenly Father, he's talking about our status as Christian believers with God. Right? And this can only be said of a Christian, that God is our Heavenly Father and that we are his dear children. This is talking about redemption, not about creation. And so therefore, what Jesus is reminding his disciples and us is that God takes care of the birds, and you are much better than the birds, and your Heavenly Father feeds them. Now think about it. A bird is a bird, but you Christians are the beloved children of God in Christ. So if God cares for the birds, won't he much more care about you? And then he moves on to verse 27 and he says, which of you by being anxious can add one cubit to his stature? Now, this is kind of funny, right? This is Jesus being funny, right? Think of a guy who he goes out in the course of the day and he notices how many people are taller than him. And he wishes that he were tall like that, right? So he goes home and he sits in a corner and he tries to worry himself taller, right? It's a ridiculous idea, but think of a guy sitting there just pining away and worrying himself to death because he's not tall enough. And he thinks that if he worries real hard, he'll get taller. Goes to a basketball game and sees all those people and thinks, boy, those people must worry a lot. Anyway, so here he says, which of you, by taking thought, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, anxiety does not accomplish anything. It does not do anything positive. It only does something negative. It distracts you. It causes you to be wanting in faith. It causes you to look to trust in things you shouldn't trust. It has all kinds of negative effects, but it doesn't have one positive effect to be anxious about anything. So which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And of course, no one can. He goes on. Now, you see what Jesus is doing here? He's showing us how needless it is for the Christian to be anxious and why it is. And the first reason here is because we are children of the Heavenly Father by faith in Christ. He moves on and he says, why take you thought for clothing? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So he's talking about the flowers of the field. He's not talking about people's cultivated gardens. He's talking about a phenomenon that takes place in the land of Israel all the time, where during the wet season of the year, things will begin to grow and they will come up, and the hillsides will become awash in color because of the sudden rains that have brought all the things necessary for the seeds and the plants to suddenly sprout and grow. But then when the sun comes up and the heat comes, it's not very long before the hillsides, which were bathed in color, are now brown and dull and dry again. And so when Jesus says this, he's talking about the flowers of the field and how quickly they come up and how beautiful they are while they last. Even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed, was not dressed like one of these flowers. And what's the purpose? So that that flower, for the time that exists, can, by its beauty, bring glory to God and blessing upon us as we see them and we enjoy their beauty. So therefore, God works through these flowers. They glorify him, and not a whit of worry or anxiety. And yet God uses them, and we enjoy them while they last. So he goes on and he says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, one of the things that people would do, you know, the land of Israel was not a land that was just loaded with forests. And so to get fuel for cooking and to get fuel for your homes and stuff, very often you had to go out and you had to bring in grasses and flowers and plants and whatever flammable stuff you could get hold of so that you could put it in the oven and cook your supper at night. And so it is that Jesus says, look at this, the grass of the field is here today, gone tomorrow. One minute it's beautifying the countryside, the next minute it is being used as fuel for fire to cook supper. And he says, if God so clothes the grass of the field, shall he not much more clothe you? Don't you think that you are more important to God than the flowers of the field? And then he uses this word, oligopisti. Oligopisti. Oh, little faith ones. Oh, little faith ones. Oh, ye small of faith. And so he says, don't you see what you're doing? You're not seeing the picture the way it really is. Your anxieties have made you see things in a way that is deceptive. But the truth about you is that you are a child of God through faith in Christ, and you are way more important to God than the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Therefore, he says, take no thought, do not worry. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Right? And then he says this, and it's a kind of a cutting remark. He says, for the Gentiles seek after these things. Who are the Gentiles? They are heathen unbelievers. Right? And he says, when you are anxious about your temporal goods, when you have a heavenly father, you're acting like a heathen. You're acting like an unbeliever. And that's not good. He says, after these things do the Gentiles seek. So don't worry. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What are you going to wear? He says, your heavenly father, there's that phrase again, your heavenly father knows that you have need of all these things. Therefore, seek ye first. What is it that you should be concerned about? You should be concerned first of all and primarily about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, that you may be and continue to be by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, members of the kingdom of grace and heirs of the kingdom of glory. All right, so that's number one. That should be your chief concern, is that you continue to be children of the kingdom of God by grace through faith. And not only that, but that you should also seek first his righteousness. Now, this has a twofold meaning. The first meaning of his righteousness is that the righteousness of Christ is credited to you. That's what makes you acceptable to God. That's why God can call you his dear children in Christ. Because the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his Son, has been imputed to you. It has been reckoned to you, and therefore you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and God accepts you as his dear children for Christ's sake. Seek these things first, his kingdom and his righteousness, and listen, all these things shall be added unto you. And therefore you need not be anxious, you need not worry, you need not make yourself susceptible to old mammon who is looking for slaves to serve him. You can be free and worryless and without anxiety when you know that your Heavenly Father, he knows that you need these things, and that you, being concerned mostly about his kingdom and his righteousness, know that all these things shall be added unto you. I know you, if you're like me, you've had a lot of things to worry about in your life, but you ain't dead, right? You know, especially in the past couple of years, we've had some real worries, but here we are. Here we are. We haven't died, and it's not because of our anxieties, right? It's not because of our anxieties. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then finally, he says, don't be anxious about tomorrow, because tomorrow will be anxious for its own stuff. But shouldn't we provide for the future? Shouldn't we worry about the state that the world is getting into? Well, we should be concerned about these things. There's a big difference between concern and anxiety, all right? And so, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Right? Sufficient unto the day. It is enough today to deal with the evil at hand without worrying about what bad thing might be coming tomorrow or the next day or the next day. So Jesus here, he sees that we Christians, we are often tempted to put our trust in mammon, just like any other person. We are tempted to put our trust in mammon. He cautions us against this by showing that it is a sin to demote God while promoting mammon. And then he says, listen, We all know why we do this and why we're tempted. It's because of anxiety that we will not get what we need to live. But he says, you have a heavenly Father. You have a kingdom. You have a righteousness that has been credited to you. God loves you. He knows your needs, and he promises to help you in every need. Therefore, you need not be anxious. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.